Hey, it's Nudia from Vocalo. Got plans July 11th? Now you do. Join me for Vocalo's free summer meltdown concert at Bottom Lounge with Adam Killa and Taylor Bennett. We'll have merch giveaways and surprise guests. Learn more at wbez.org/events.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. New body camera footage shows a Chicago police officer hid for more than 90 seconds and failed to provide aid after shooting his partner, Crystal Rivera. Rivera and Officer Carlos Baker were chasing a man into an apartment building when Baker kicked a door down and they encountered another man pointing a gun at them. The video released today shows Baker appeared to trip over himself before firing the gunshot that ultimately killed Rivera. Baker then ran up a stairwell calling for help, but waited nearly 2 minutes before coming back down the stairs. Baker and Rivera had previously been in a romantic relationship, and the family of Rivera filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the police department and Baker last year. They allege Baker shot her because he was struggling to accept Rivera's decision to end their relationship. Months after Operation Midway Blitz, the village of Broadview says it has had to deal with the financial fallout of the deportation campaign on its own. The western suburb houses a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement processing facility, and that spot became a de facto immigration detention site in the fall. The Sun-Times reports Broadview was hit with nearly $400,000 in unexpected costs. This is about 10% of the village's discretionary budget. Broadview Finance Director Thomas Hood spoke about the burden at a budget meeting this week.
You have to have your police there. You have to have the fire department come when the medical assistance is needed. So it's really led to a lot of expense that we didn't count on, but we're hopeful that we're going to get reimbursed for some of that.
Broadview Mayor Katrina Thompson is hoping Congress will reimburse the village and close the ICE processing center. And a push by Governor J.B. Pritzker to prohibit the use of cell phones and other smart devices in the classroom is on its way to the state Senate after passing the House. My colleague Sam Nofsker reports the ban includes the use of smartphones, tablets, laptops, gaming devices, and smart watches during school hours. Some exceptions would be made for emergencies and for students who are caregivers or have medical needs or rely on translation services. The measure does not extend to non-instructional hours like lunch or passing periods. Supporters say it would boost student performance, reduce bullying, and improve mental health outcomes by curbing chronic use. And though not tall in stature, Barbara Flynn Curry is being remembered today as a giant in Illinois state political history. The longtime Hyde Park Democrat died Thursday. She was 85 years old. Curry was the House Majority Leader for 20 years and the first woman to have that role. She helped abolish the death penalty and legalize gay marriage, and led the impeachment investigation into former Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich. Democratic State Representative Robin Gable, through tears, says Curry mentored her.
She showed me that leadership is not about being the loudest voice in the room, but about being the most thoughtful, the most prepared, and the most principled.
House Speaker Emanuel Chris Welch says Curry did not just break the glass ceiling, she lifted others up after her. Barbara Flynn Curry being remembered today at 85 years old. You're listening to The Rundown. In his heyday, the black media mogul John H. Johnson reached millions with his iconic magazines Ebony and Jet. His wife Eunice founded the Ebony Fashion Fair and the beauty line of the same name. And now their granddaughter, Alexa Rice, is making her own way in the beauty business decades later. Contributor Ellie Fishman and producer Minju Park visited the millennial entrepreneur at her home in Chicago's Gold Coast neighborhood.
Hello.
How are you? It is crazy foggy out. We're going to go to the left.
I'm meeting Rice at her beautiful apartment in the Gold Coast, where she lives with her mom, Linda Johnson Rice. When we step off the elevator, Rice swings open the door and shows producer Minju Park and me inside. Rice takes us to the family den. She calls it the media room. It's got a big flat-screen TV and a taxidermy tiger rug on the wall. This was once Rice's grandparents' place, but she grew up 10 floors up. So as a kid, she spent a lot of time in this apartment. She has a lot of memories here.
So you must have spent a lot of time in this apartment.
A lot. Absolutely, for sure. It was really nice having them in the same building. Always a treat to see Nana and Papa.
Yeah.
Because I could always pop down and see them, so it was fun to have that relationship, you know, be so close all the time. I remember my granddad would sit here. Mom has fond memories of him sitting in his chair with his feet on the table watching Murder, She Wrote. That was one of his favorites. My grandmother died in 2010. 10, so we moved in not too soon after she passed. It looks a bit different, but some things have stayed the same. We're a house of maximalists, for sure. There's yes, there's cheetahs, there's leopards, there's tigers, yeah.
There's also a lot of family history on the walls.
So this wall is fun, leading up to my mom's office. So here you can see this is my granddad, John H. Johnson, with JFK holding an ebony with Frederick Douglass on the cover. Oh, then we've got some fashion. So here's Nana with a very young Karl Lagerfeld when he was at Chloé. And then with Yves Saint Laurent here, which is great. So this room's got the most history, I'd say. Do you want to sit? We can sit. Yeah.
We settle back into the TV room.
Figure we do the interview in here.
And I find myself wondering if, as a kid, Rice understood the scope of her family's influence. So I ask how she understood her grandparents' role in shaping Chicago into a center of Black culture in America.
Ebony and Jet, you know, of course, global, but always very proud to have it in Chicago, to have the headquarters here. I would say my grandparents absolutely helped to shape the Black cultural identity of Chicago. You know, I always knew it was a big deal, but in terms of really changing kind of the fabric of this country, that took, I think, more of an objective eye I didn't cultivate until later. You know, because of who my family was, I'm like 10 years old and I know who Valentino is. You know, that's not normal, but that's what I was around. You know, I was reading Ebony, I was reading Vogue, I was reading Bazaar, all the fashion stuff. And the beauty stuff too, Allure. I loved it all. It was that aspect of self-creation that even when I was little, I really, really identified with. My grandmother started Fashion Fair Cosmetics. That's where I'd say I got most of my knowledge from in terms of the beauty business, because I would always see them picking the packaging, going through shades, going through naming, figuring out what looks great on Black skin. And so that was really formative. Fashion Fair ended up being purchased by Desiree Rogers and Cheryl McKissick out of bankruptcy, which was totally legal, but it came as a devastating shock. My mom had been very good friends with these women for years. They had an agreement that neither of them would bid to try and buy Fashion Fair. Unbeknownst to my mom, she did not find this out until they kind of show up on the day, and that's how they ended up with the business. I could not believe it. I was devastated. I was heartbroken.
We reached out to Rogers and McKissick for comment. Rogers wrote in an email, JPC no longer owned the company when we bid on it. We were surprised and delighted that our bid was selected and that Fashion Fair would remain in the hands of African Americans.
You can own the business, sure, but you can't own my grandmother. That's not how things work. It doesn't just pass to you. That was something that she gave to me, you know, through her time and her love and her being my family. So in that way, I feel privileged to own this legacy that I can now take in to something that I know she would be very, very proud of. And so for me, you know, starting Beach Beauty, it's a way to feel closer to my family, my grandmother specifically, and it's a way for me to continue our family legacy. My grandmother's and my mom's beauty tastes definitely got passed down to me. The maximalism extends to the face. This whole clean girl aesthetic, it's just not for me. Like, I don't know her. I wish her luck. So for me, it's bold color. I do want things that are going to show up on the skin. I want to take into account as many skin tones as possible. So the first product is lip gloss. As my mom always says, a good lip will give a lift to the face.
As for what comes next, Rice is focused on getting Beach Beauty off the ground. It's a way for her to feel closer to her grandparents and build something that's her own, too.
At one point, you know, you start to think, like, well, I guess I have to launch something as big and important as Ebony and Jet were. Like, okay, hold up. Maybe I can be a little easier on myself. You know, do the things that I want to do, but that still honor my grandparents.
For WBEZ, I'm Ellie Fishman.
Weather sunny, breezy, and warm today, high in the low 80s. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms. Some storms could include hail, tornadoes, and some flash flooding, a low in the mid 40s. And then for the weekend, sunny and cool both Saturday and Sunday, highs in the low 50s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.